Welcome to episode 190 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's anything you'd like to hear more about, please let us know. My name is Laura, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Donna, Lindsay, Sandy, and Elizabeth. Elizabeth was recently invited to participate in a familiarization trip with Royal Caribbean International to experience the land portion of their cruise tour products. We want to share her experience in this episode, and we also wanted to invite an expert to fill in more details on the portfolio of tours they offer. Alaska was the 49th state to join the union, and it did. Texas went from our largest state to our second largest by a large margin. Alaska is a bucket list destination for travelers of all ages, but many people chose to only cruise the Inside Passage rather than explore the interior of the state. Although there is a lot to experience in such a vacation, Alaska has so much more to offer, which is why Royal Caribbean and some of their competitors offer cruise tours, packaging that seven-night one-way cruise with a land tour and allowing guests to experience so much more of Alaska, including the magnificent and vast Denali National Park. Tonight, we hope to share many reasons that taking a cruise tour is a far better option for your dream trip to Alaska. To this end, we are excited to introduce our guest tonight for tonight's podcast, Brendan Holcomb from Royal Caribbean. Brendan is a 15-year veteran of the cruise industry and has worked with a broad range of cruise lines. For the last 3 years, Brendan has overseen the sales and marketing for Alaska and Canada cruise tours. Welcome, Brendan.
Welcome. Thank you.
Hey, how are you today? Thank you so much for the invite. I appreciate it. I was just sitting down with my wife, and I told her I've got to go because I've got a date with five special ladies.
Nice. Oh, well, actually, you have a date with a whole bunch of people. Every met talker. Yeah, so let's get started. So, Brendan, tell us a little bit about, what a cruise tour looks like and how they differ from each other.
There's a lot of different types of cruise tours, and certainly Royal Caribbean offered the opportunity in order to experience the interior of Alaska with a range of included experiences, a range of destinations, and some of which are exclusive to Royal Caribbean. But I think kind of a better place to start, rather than get into the details, maybe if you guys feel it's appropriate, of what's different about the individual cruise tours from Royal Caribbean is why to do a cruise tour in the first place. You guys mentioned that there's so many folks that just take the Inside Passage, as gorgeous and wonderful as it is, sailing up from Vancouver or Seattle, typically up to around the Glacier Bay, Harbor Glacier sort of an area, and kicking back down back to Seattle or Vancouver, but not so many folks go into the interior of Alaska, and it's such a beautiful place. So if you don't mind, I'd just like to explain a little bit about what's so special about the interior of Alaska and why people should consider that in the first place. Instead of just doing the cruise.
That'd be wonderful.
We would love that.
Awesome. I personally love the cruising to Alaska. I think I kind of mentioned it a little bit before that I worked on board cruise ships for 11 years. And if I take all the contracts, and the contract is just the 6 months that you spend working on board, if I take all the contracts that I spent working in Alaska and kind of squished next to each other, I would have spent about 3.5 solid years just cruising the Inside Passage. That's the passageway of land that leads up to destinations such as Juneau, Skagway, Ketchikan, Icy Strait, Point Vasica. You've got those fabulous scenic areas of cruising. I'm sure many of your listeners have heard around destinations such as Glacier Bay, Hubbard Glacier, Endicott Arms, Tracyon Fjord, breathtaking places to experience the glaciers in Alaska. And it was wonderful, and I loved it, I loved it, I loved it. And I'm sure many of your listeners who've been to Alaska will agree that it is a breathtaking destination along the southeastern coastline of Alaska. But I think kind of one of the things to consider that when your listeners are kind of talking about the potential of going to Alaska is, why are they going to Alaska? And typically speaking, the reasons why folks want to go to Alaska is because they want to have kind of four quintessential amazing experiences. They want to experience wilderness. They want to experience wildlife. They want to experience glaciers. And they want to experience mountains. And I think kind of as your listeners start to do their discovery, as they start to find out where can they have these amazing experiences in the best way they possibly can, what they begin to find out is that a lot of those experiences are really going to be maximized. They're going to be experienced in the best way possible if they additionally add the land tour to their cruise to create their overall cruise tour experience. Because there are opportunities for wildlife along the southeastern coastline of Alaska. Sure, you can get out for their day in Juneau or Skagway, but really if you want to experience wildlife in their natural habitat, and typically the kind of wildlife that your listeners are going to want to experience is what we call the Big Five. It's the moose, the caribou, the grizzlies, the doll sheep, and the wolves. To have the best opportunity for those experiences in their natural habitat, that's going to be Denali National Park. And Denali National Park is hundreds of miles from any coastal port in Alaska. The only way to experience that is to experience the cruise tour. And I think as your listeners start to do their explorations about the mountains in Alaska, of course, this is focused around Denali, which is formerly called Mount McKinley, which is the tallest peak in North America, 20,000 feet and still growing. And man, when you get a fabulous view of that from Talpiña or Denali, it really takes your breath away. But the mountain is over 377 miles from any cruise port in Alaska. To really have those great experiences, they have to go to the interior of Alaska. They would have to do a cruise tour. And to truly experience the wilderness, that kind of sense of separation, you know, being away from the hustle and bustle and people and everyday life, and to kind of have that magnificence of nature that's surrounding you, you got to go to the interior of Alaska for that. Now, those glaciers your listeners will get as part of any cruise, only a cruise tour experience. But as they start to discover, as they start to make that bucket list, as they start to kind of list all of those items that, hey, if they go to Alaska, they can't miss this, what they'll begin to find is a lot of that is going to be in the interior of Alaska. The coastline is fabulous. The cruise is fabulous. The scenic areas are fabulous. The whale watching in Juneau is breathtaking. The misty fjords in Ketchikan is one of a kind. The narrow gauge rail experiences that take you up through the peaks and valleys that the miners took in the late 1800s in order to access the Yukon Goldfields is breathtaking. But for those quintessential, magnificent Alaskan experience, that's really the combination of the two. It's a cruise sailing from Vancouver to Seward or Seward down to Vancouver, combined with a 2 to 6 night land tour into the interior of Alaska. I'm sorry, I go off on some stuff. I get very excited about Alaska. I hope that wasn't too much.
That's awesome. So I think there's always a question, and I already know your answer, but I'm going to ask the question because I think everybody should hear your answer. Is it best to go northbound or is it best to go southbound? Is it best to do your cruise tour before the trip or after? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think kind of the most important and relevant point on this is that it's a preference thing. It's going to come down to the individual person and what they want to achieve as, you know, as part of their experience. So when you say northbound and southbound, just to kind of clear it up for everyone, your clients have the opportunity to do one of two things. Either they can fly to Vancouver, at which point they would embark the Radiance. The Radiance would sail from Vancouver to Seward, and then in Seward, they would have the opportunity to do that 2 to 6 night land tour, then flying home from Anchorage or Fairbanks. Now, that's a northbound cruise tour, because we're saying northbound. They also have the opportunity to do the reverse. So they would fly into Anchorage or Fairbanks, do the 2 to 6 night land tour that would take them down to Seward, embark the Radiance in Seward, and then a 7 night sailing would take them down to Vancouver, and they'd fly home from there. So they have the opportunity, as you pointed out, to do a northbound or a southbound cruise tour. And I think sometimes what happens, and, you know, I understand why this happens, I understand why these recommendations are made, is that there's a focus in my estimation, a mistaken focus on southbound cruise tours, that somehow the idea of kind of enjoying the hustle and bustle of the tour and then relaxing on the cruise down to Vancouver is the way to go. And, you know, there may be some truth to that for some preference, but I don't think it's an all-encompassing answer. The reason why we have northbound, southbound cruise tours is because we have northbound, southbound cruises. If we have a cruise tour that goes northbound or southbound, for example, cruise tour number one, it is going to be identical northbound that it is to southbound, just in the reverse. Now, there's preference components of this. Some people may prefer, in order to do a land tour, and as I said, the hustle and bustle, and then enjoy the cruise southbound. My preference personally is to go northbound. And the reason why I prefer to go northbound is because it's an easier flight to get to Vancouver rather than flying into the interior of Alaska to Anchorage or Fairbanks. And what can happen sometimes is if you fly into the interior of Alaska to Anchorage or Fairbanks, there's some acclimatization because it's a longer flight. And then first thing the next day, you're on the tour experiencing the interior of Alaska and you're just kind of getting used to it, right? Because if you fly into Fairbanks, you've probably got, you know, 20 to 22 hours of sunlight. Mm-hmm. A little bit of acclimatization there. If you go northbound, you fly to Vancouver. Number one, that's an easier flight. And number two, what is the first day of every cruise that you've ever been on?
A day at sea.
It's a sea day. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a government-sanctioned nap. That's what it is. You go to bed, you don't need to do anything, you get up, you know, do whatever you want to do. But you relax. And then you acclimatize on the ship as you're going to Seward. And when you get up in Seward, you kind of acclimatize and you're ready to go. But again, that's a preference thing. The direct answer to the question is that they are identical for northbound or southbound. And I think your clients, there's kind of an array of other questions that they should answer first before they get to northbound or southbound. You know, how long can they do their cruise tour for? What is their preference in terms of the cruise tour? These are the sorts of questions you should be asking first in order to ensure you get the experience that you want. And really, northbound and southbound maybe comes a little bit later in that conversation.
So I have a question. You said there's 2 to 6 day, like, cruise tour parts with the land portion. Does a 2 day get you all the way up to Denali?
It does get you up to Denali, but that's a fabulous question because I don't really recommend anyone takes the 2 day.
Yeah, that sounds so.
Unless you're really, really pressed for time, 2 days in the interior of Alaska is not enough. Now, can they get to Denali? Absolutely. Every single one of our cruise tours goes to Denali National Park and includes a tour into Denali National Park. And we can certainly cover those tours if you guys would like to. But the geographical kind of distances in Alaska, something to keep in mind of is this. If you were to drive direct from Seward to Denali, that would be about 8 hours, give or take. Now, we don't drive direct from Seward to Denali because it would be a really uncomfortable drive. We're stopping off in destinations such as Talkeetna and Anchorage along the way, potentially overnighting. It just kind of depends. But imagine that. You know, everyone's going to Denali. That's going to be about 8 hours travel time in order to be able to get there. Once in Denali, you need to get to Anchorage or Fairbanks in order to fly out because they're the two international airports. Got about another 3 to 4 hours of travel there in order to get from Denali to Anchorage. Now, beautiful travel, don't get me wrong. Fabulous mountains. If you're doing it with Royal Caribbean, you're going to be in deluxe motor coaches the whole way, very comfortable. But on a two-night land tour as part of your nine-night cruise tour, so that's a seven-night cruise and a two-night land tour, you've really got about a day's worth of travel there, and you've got about a day in order to experience things, right? Be in Denali, go into the park, have an opportunity to see the mountain, have an opportunity to see wildlife, and it's not that much. So, you know, the two-night land tour is there if people are really, really pressed with time, but I strongly encourage your listeners to do a minimum of a three-night land tour, so seven-night cruise, three-night land tour, that's a 10-night cruise tour, preferably an 11 or 12-night cruise tour. So that's a 7-night cruise and either a 4 or a 5-night land tour. That's really going to create the opportunities in order to see the things that you want to see. And I say this all day. I say this every day. to everyone who will listen. My wife's sick of me hearing me saying it when she's around me and I'm talking about Alaska. But, you know, I love the place. And I think, you know, the way that people have great experiences in Alaska is to set themselves up for success when they go there. And the way that you set yourself up for success in Alaska is not by trying to judge the weather. It's not by trying to judge northbound or southbound. It's not by trying to judge when the animals are going to come out of hibernation. The way you set yourself up for success in Alaska is to go to Alaska when you have the most time to spend in Alaska. If you could do a 13-night cruise tour in May, you go in May. If you could do a 12-night cruise tour, but that's as much as you can do, but you can do it in June, you go in June. Because Alaska is the quintessentially natural destination. It's not Disney World. We don't just make Jaws appear as part of the ride into the Jaws ride in the park. It's a natural destination. The mountain will be there if it wants to. The clouds will rise from Denali to get those we were just in Alaska. We just did a great fam trip to Alaska. My God, we've got beautiful views of Denali from Talkeetna. It was breathtaking.
Thank you for arranging that, by the way, Brendan. That was nice.
You're most welcome. It was so beautiful. I've been going there for God knows how many years, and it still takes your breath away when it does that. But the clouds will rise from Denali if they do, and they won't if they won't. The animals will be there in Denali National Park. They won't if they won't. There's no baiting or tracking or calling. It's a quintessentially natural destination. The longer that you spend there in the interior of Alaska, the more opportunities you are creating for yourself for those magical, natural moments to happen. So is the 2-night land tour or, you know, the 9-night cruise tour there? Absolutely. If people are really struggling with the time, they absolutely want to do the cruise tour there. It's an option. But I strongly encourage your listeners to look at a minimum of a 10-night cruise tour, preferably 11 or 12. And if they can do it, 13 is absolutely fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about flying a whole day to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it takes a huge time commitment just to get there. So make sure you get to see what you want to see.
Yeah. And I'll add that, you know, I have a little app called MileIQ, which actually is on my phone, and it tracks whenever I'm in a car, it tracks how far I'm going, which is really nice for my taxes at the end of the year. But of course, it's on all the time. And so I'm riding around on these luxury motor coaches in Alaska, and my little MileIQ is just tracking everywhere I go. And I didn't look at the mileage after that week that I spent with Royal Caribbean, but at the end, I had about a $550 write-off. So we're not talking, now granted, I don't really have that because it wasn't my vehicle, so, and I'm honest, but I didn't look at the actual mileage, but that's a lot of that's a lot of miles that I didn't have to drive and that you have to consider you're going to be traveling. I mean, we definitely traveled, and the scope of my trip was Fairbanks to Seward and then back up to Anchorage, so definitely covering a lot of ground there. It's not like driving from North Carolina to South Carolina.
That's the thing about Alaska that struck me was just how huge. Mm-hmm. Everything was so huge. When we did our helicopter tour and they were pointing out those sheep on the side of the mountain, I was like, wait, what? Those little dots, is that what you're talking mm-hmm. about? I mean, it looked like, I felt like I was so close, but then when you have something to kind of give you that perspective, you're like, whoa, this is humongous and I'm nowhere near it. So, yeah.
And when you're talking about those once in a lifetime opportunities like that, like the helicopter ride or like the K2 aviation, the flight seeing, you need to have a couple days in your itinerary where you can do that, if, just in case you can't do it the day you want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because just weather. Yeah.
It's a great point about flying in Alaska. People always ask, when should I fly? When should I fly? You fly when the skies are clear. That's when you do it. It doesn't matter if it's at the beginning of the trip. It doesn't matter if it's at the end of the trip. You fly when the skies are clear. Because, you know, what are the limitations with flight sightseeing in Alaska? Is the weather. When the weather comes down, the planes can't go up. Obviously, a safety thing. So if you have that opportunity that comes up, I'm sorry, you're probably hearing my beautiful dog Lola howling there. But you fly when the opportunity is there for those clear skies. Alaska is a huge destination. And I think it's good to kind of, again, for your listeners to kind of keep it in mind. I think sometimes when they hear the word motor coaches and escorted, and we're going to get into all of that and why Royal Caribbean is so different from the industry standard when we come to the cruise tour experience. But, they kind of get the idea about, oh, it's a bus tour, right? Because you're on a bus and you go to these places, and it's really not. The reason we've got motor coach travel in Alaska is because Alaska is a very big place. We are just getting you to the destinations that you need to get to in order to have those amazing experiences. Now, the travel is spectacular. I mean, it's beautiful. The highway that stretches from Seward to Anchorage, it's known as one of the top 10 most beautiful highways in the world. And my God, was it out when we were traveling there last week. It was fabulously gorgeous. But it's motor coach travel because we're getting you to the destination that you want to go. And I encourage everyone to think about cruise tours in three core components. It's the geographical necessity to get you from A to B. It's a big place. You want to have these amazing experiences. To have those amazing experiences, we've got to get you around some big distances. What's really important to note is that we take great pride and take great attention to ensuring that what we call the flow, which is when do we arrive at this destination, when do we leave at this destination, how far are we traveling that day? That's the flow. What included experiences in that? That's the flow of the day, right? When do you leave? When do you arrive? We take great care to ensure that the flow is a comfortable one, right? We're not going to put people on motor coaches for, 8 hours. We just don't do that. So
thank you.
What we're ensuring is that, for example, if you're leaving Seward, you get on the ship, then probably your travel day that day is going to be to either it's going to be an overnight in Seward or it's going to be to Talkeetna or Anchorage. So you've got, a comfortable, 3 hours there or so. If the travel is a little bit longer, we'll ensure that we have an included experience along the way. So what does that mean, an included experience? It's kind of like a shore excursion, right? But it's built into the cost of the cruise tour. So it's something that is there, and that's an experience that you're going to have. We stopped off at the wonderful Alaska Wildlife and Conservation Center, which is a rehabilitation center for indigenous Alaskan animals who have been orphaned or injured before they're sent back out into the wild. There's opportunity there for black bear and brown bear and wolves, and it's a really cool place. So we may stop off there for about an hour or so. If the travel is a little bit longer that day for people to stretch their legs and have a great experience, and then once they're refreshed, we'll get back on the coach and we'll go to the destination. When we arrive in that destination, there may be a really big included experience. So, for example, the tour into the Denali National Park that you guys were talking about earlier, that's a many hours long tour, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours, depending on the tour that you have there. But then afterwards, there's the opportunity for your listeners to explore on their own. It's not with the small group tour all of the time. It's balanced with travel that's comfortable, that's well-positioned, with included experiences that are built into it, and with the opportunity for them to explore on their own. So they can go just have a fabulous hike that only the locals know about, go for a great meal just for their friends and family and loved ones. We're really balancing that time each day so the travel is comfortable, so the included experiences are amazing, and then there's the opportunity for your listeners just to do the things that they want to do. They're not with a small group tour the whole time. There's plenty of opportunity there for them to just have those great experiences with their friends and family and loved ones just on their own.
And then the optional excursions as well in a lot of these destinations, the ability to choose your own adventure. Maybe somebody's interested in seeing the puppies, and then maybe somebody else is interested in a dinner show or flight seeing or what have you, or whitewater rafting. And so there's opportunities for you to pick something that's individualized to you as well during the trip. And there's a few opportunities to do that.
We've heard you talk a little bit about all the reasons to take the tour and the incredible scenery you're going to see, and that there is kind of no bad time to go to Alaska. What are some of the stops? Elizabeth just got back from being with you guys in you know, we kind of stalked her Facebook page, and it was one more beautiful picture after another. You know, it was the lodging she was at, and the experiences she had, and the food she was eating. And so, what are some stops on a typical cruise tour? And I guess, Brendan and Elizabeth, this is a good time for you guys both to chime in.
Well, first, I appreciate
it. How does it usually go?
I appreciate the fact that you didn't bring up the beers I was drinking, too, because I do think that hit the Facebook page a lot, too. So thanks for that.
Well, some things are self-evident.
It wasn't allowed before 3 p.m. Yeah.
It's daylight all the time there. You just never know when it's okay to drink.
It is. You don't. It doesn't count.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hey, look, we went to some amazing stuff. So typically speaking, now, you know, this industry-wide, there's going to be some very slight variation here, but typically speaking, your major stops or the opportunity that you have for your major stops are going to be Seward, which sits on the Kenai Peninsula. Seward is a fabulously breathtaking destination that I encourage your listeners to not write off, because sometimes, because Seward is the embark debark destination, i.e. that's where they will either be getting off or on the ship, they may write that destination off as not a destination that they need to spend it overnight. I love Seward. Seward is, or the Kenai Peninsula, is known as the destinations where Alaskans go to play. It's surrounded by the coastal Alaskan mountains. It is incredibly beautiful. There's the opportunity, in order to go off on the boat trip onto the Kenai Peninsula, orcas, sea lions, whales, bald eagles overhead, an amazing day, and then exit Glacier, which is a very famous glacier and one of Kenai Fjord's major attractions, is literally 5 minutes away from the property that our guests will stay at in Seward. It's an awesome, awesome destination.
And I'm just going to, Brendan, I'm going to interrupt you because Seward was my second favorite destination, but y'all, I have to tell you, Brendan took us there 1 week too late for the Mermaid Festival. I am sad. I am so sad. So they actually have like a big festival where you dress up, and it's a great little town. And as someone who wrote, I actually was guilty of this because I've taken two Alaskan cruises, and Seward to me was just a port town. I just didn't expect it to have much to offer. And it is a great little town.
It's got that great like downtown area where you can walk, where there's all those cute little shops.
Yeah.
And at the end of them, they pointed out a haunted hotel too.
Ooh.
Yeah, right? So that's one thing.
And great food too. Really great food in Seward. Really fresh, wonderful seafood. As you would expect, right?
Yes. And the Sea Life Center is there too. Yeah.
As you would expect, but it's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted, but I had to interrupt.
A little bit north of, no. Jump on it. Listen, it's great to hear other people's perspective, because, you know, I feel the way I feel, and, you know, that is what it is, but it's great to hear other people's perspective on it. A little bit north of that is about a three-hour change, you know, give or take on the weather, drive from Seward is Anchorage. Anchorage is not the capital of Alaska, that's actually Juneau, but it's Alaska's most populous city. And it is a city. Anchorage is, you know, it's a business-oriented city. That's what it is. But again, it's this city in these very unique Alaskan circumstances. There's more moose in Anchorage, within Anchorage city limits, than there are people. What surrounds Anchorage is, yeah, I know, it's insane. But what surrounds Anchorage is
It has that small town feel to it, even though it's a city.
Yes.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And it's surrounded by the Alaska mountain ranges. So you have this kind of it's not surreal, but you know, you're in a city, and then you have these clear, beautiful views of the mountains that kind of surround parts of it. These streams the main stream that goes through Anchorage is where the salmon spawn through that stream and around the kind of the middle part of June. Very common to see Anchorageites, if I can call them that. I don't know if they have a name like that. But, you know, they're kind of working in the morning and then fishing in the stream on their lunch break to try and catch some salmon for their dinner. It's just got a great feel to it. You know, it's a great dining city, some fabulous dining available in Anchorage.
Oh, yeah.
So again, it's, you know, Anchorage is typically an arrival destination or departure destination, right? They're flying into Anchorage or ending in Anchorage to go home, and there'll be opportunity just to kind of explore the city. It's very walkable.
Mm-hmm.
The property in which our guests will stay is the Anchorage Marriott, and you've really got about kind of 6 to 8 blocks that surrounds it of just easily walkable, wonderful kind of city stroke, not wilderness, but beautiful kind of scenic areas. If I may, I would always suggest the Tony Knowles Coastal Trail. It's a beautiful 7-mile trail, easily walkable from the hotel. It stretches up along the coastal areas, including the Turnagain Arm. Fabulously gorgeous. And there's just a lot of those little opportunities that kind of surround Anchorage. So typically speaking, on a cruise tour, the overnight there will be prior to people flying out or them flying in. But if they can kind of get there a little bit earlier, maybe fly in the night before, or, it's a really nice city to explore.
One of the things I loved in Anchorage was the trolley tour. Did you do the trolley
No,
tour?
I didn't do the trolley tour.
It was so cool. Yeah, I mean, they take you out to, like, they talk a lot about the earthquake that hit mm-hmm. in, like, the 50s or something. I don't know. But they take you out to this one park where you can still see the ripples from mm-hmm. the way it changed the topography and how, like, one block is, like, a whole story lower. That's, like, that's why there's that hill, you know? Mm-hmm. It was cool. It was a really good tour.
And right in front of, right where the trolley picks up, there's also a bunch of other shuttles. There's a shuttle for the zoo. There's a shuttle. There's even a free shuttle that'll take you out to the Harley store. There's a bunch of transportation options for things that are just a little bit outside of Anchorage. It's a very walker-friendly destination. Did you do the bikes on the Tony Knowles Coastal Trail?
I didn't. I think Brendan suggested that to several people in our group, and they did do that. And I saw a lot of pictures from it. And they saw moose. They saw a moose.
I walked
baby
on
moose
the trail.
Nursing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. They got really close to it. I was really surprised. I'm like, I would have kept my distance, but they were. Right, she was right beside the path, and that people were just biking right by her. So.
And. I did the museum and like the safari tour and things like that, but that's the one thing I didn't do was the bikes. But when they were talking about the bikes, I was thinking Sandy would probably love this.
Yeah.
I did walk on the trail. Yeah.
It's a great city, and people should definitely look at their travel plans, see when they're flying in or flying out. Indeed, if Anchorage is part of their route, and then see about kind of ensuring they have a little time to kind of explore there, because it's an awesome city. And I think kind of this is not just for Anchorage, but this stands for the whole of Alaska. What is truly wonderful about Alaska is the people.
Mm-hmm.
They are such friendly, accommodating, welcoming people who want you to explore their wonderful state and are really accommodating in making that happen. And I don't need to put the boot into the Caribbean here because, you know, someone who spent 11 years on board cruise ships, I did the Caribbean a lot. You know, sometimes in certain ports in the Caribbean, it could just kind of be a little, you know, it could be a little much with everything that's going on. You never feel that in Alaska. You never feel that in Alaska. You just kind of feel like people want you to have this amazing experience in their wonderful state. And I think that's, you know, I think that's something to celebrate. So a little bit north of Anchorage, you're going to get to Talkeetna, which is one of my favorite places. Talkeetna is known as the town where life begins at the end of the road. I think it's their kind of caption for, you know, their little town. And the reason that life begins at the end of the road is because the only thing really beyond Talkeetna is Denali, the mountain. So your listeners will have heard of Mount McKinley, of course. Mount McKinley and Denali, the mountain, are the same thing. everyone has always called it Denali the Mountain in Alaska because that's what the native Alaskans called it. Nobody's ever called it Mount McKinley in Alaska because the native Alaskans have always called it Denali. And I think, so it was President Obama who made the change. I think it was about 3 years ago.
It was actually the weekend I was there. Mm-hmm. It was when I was there. I was there right before he came for that global climate change summit. And everyone I talked to said, yeah, it's always been Denali. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It was cool.
Okay. So anyway, it's called Denali now, mm-hmm. but there's really two accessible points in order to get really beautiful views of Denali if the clouds rise. One of them is, of course, Denali in Denali National Park, and the other is Talkeetna. And in fact, you probably get more consistent, better views from Talkeetna than you do actually from Denali. And the flight sightseeing opportunities for Denali and Talkeetna are really, really amazing. So what's wonderful about Talkeetna Town is that it's a heritage city. So you've got a lot of kind of bars and restaurants there, or buildings certainly that have been there for a long, long time. And it's a kind of a melting pot of personalities. The adventurers are basically the mountain climbers. They use Talkeetna as a base camp before they go climb Denali. So you get a lot of kind of mountain climbers who are in in Talkeetna. The bush pilots who kind of fly the planes around the skies, they're in the towns kind of in the evening. The people that live there, it's a lot of bohemians. It's got a great vibe to it. I don't know if you guys remember Northern Exposure?
Yes, it was the best.
Yeah. That, right, it was awesome, right? That was based on Talkeetna. I mean, it wasn't filmed in Talkeetna. I think it was filmed in Colorado. But it was based on Talkeetna. So it's got this great vibe to it. Beautiful views of Denali the Mountain. And it's a great place to kind of, for optional land excursions. There's some really wonderful ones there.
And there's some really good food there, too.
We went to Wildflower, right?
Well, actually, we went to Denali Brewing, but that was because I had that quest to try every beer in Alaska. Yeah, there were people in our group who went to Wildflower and had rave reviews of it. So, yeah, I was really impressed.
Oh, Wildflower is so good.
Yeah, I was really impressed. The restaurants were, like, of a quality that you would find in any larger town. I mean, they were great. I was sort of expecting a mom and pop. I mean, I guess I was sort of expecting a Northern Exposure diner kind of place. And, they weren't. I mean, it really.
Yeah, I remember like fresh berries, fresh everything.
Yeah.
And all the food still in Washington.
Yeah, this seems like a really good time for me to interject too, because our listeners are going to know that Lindsay and I do not camp. Camping is not in our vocabulary. Sandy camps, and Sandy's the one who's like, national parks. And I was a little bit concerned, you know, when you hear about Alaska, you hear, and I think, Brendan, I'm just going to steal your language. It's a 3-star resort with a 5-star view. I'm like, okay, I hear the 5-star view part. But that 3-star resort is making me nervous. These were great resorts. And honestly, Talkeetna, the lodge that we stayed at in Talkeetna, that where Royal Caribbean puts you, we honestly opened our window and bam, there's Denali. It was a wonderful property and I felt very comfortable there. I did not feel like I was camping. It was clean and comfortable. You know, was it the Ritz? No, but I didn't need that there. It was really wonderful. And I can say that for everywhere we stayed. All the resorts that Royal Caribbean uses are wonderful enough for a non-camper like myself.
Yes.
Where did you stay?
It's a great point about the properties. And so I would say that, we're talking about Talkeetna, so I want to throw it in for Talkeetna because it's really, really important. On a Royal Caribbean cruise tour, we select the finest properties available locally owned and operated where we can. Basically, what that means is that we're not going to use a hotel that's locally owned and operated if it's not the best. We want to use the best that's there And if it's locally owned and operated, then that's a bonus on top of it. And certainly the finest property in Talkeetna is the Talkeetna Alaska Lodge. It's actually the second finest, we would certainly say it is the second finest property in the interior of Alaska next to Alyeska, which we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. And it's a great property. And the reason it's a great property is for sure it's got all the, it's a really nicely put together property, all those things. But it really comes down to two things. Number one, it's got those amazing views of Denali. And number two, it's just 5 minutes away from the town of Talkeetna itself. So, you know, what do you want when you go to Alaska? You know, of course you want that crazy, beautiful wilderness, but you also want to have great local experiences as well. And we're really driving and pushing and selecting properties for those. We want the best that's there. We want crazy, beautiful views where we can get them. And we also want to have those great local experiences. And Talkeetna really delivers on all of those fronts. And I would just say that the only other property in Alaska that offers both the views of Denali and access to the town of Talkeetna is a 50-minute one-way drive away from the town of Talkeetna. So that's, it just kind of gives you a sense of the process that we're going through in order to kind of select these properties. But we'll talk a little bit about the properties. I actually kind of skipped over Alyeska there. I shouldn't have done that before I got to Talkeetna. But Alyeska is a great town. Again, great example when we say the finest properties available. Alyeska kind of is like a Four Seasons. It's insanely, you know, it's a beautiful property. I encourage everyone who's listening to just go type in Alyeska Resort, which sits in Girdwood. It's a beautiful, beautiful property. It's got a saltwater heated swimming pool that looks out over the valleys. It's got a cable car that goes to the top of the mountain, and at the top of the mountain is the beautiful viewing points for the Chugach Mountain Range and the Seven Hanging Glacier, and a four diamond star restaurant that sits atop of those views. It's an amazing luxury resort. And it brings up a good point. Why do we say the finest properties available? Because not everywhere in the interior of Alaska are there properties to the quality of Hotel Alyeska. We use the best that's there, and sometimes it's crazy beautiful luxury like Hotel Alyeska. And sometimes it's five-star views and three-star properties. It's clean and comfortable, pretty basic. You kind of find that in Denali because Denali properties were built as a national park experience. But we're going to use the best that's there. It just doesn't mean that there's consistency amongst the best that is there. But Alyeska is, a great town to really enjoy the property itself. It sits right at the bottom of Mount Alyeska. Beautiful hikes to the top of the mountain if anyone is so inclined. The earlier in the season, around kind of middle of May, depending on how early summer hits, you just get the mountain that's mottled with wildflowers as you're hiking to the top of it. Absolutely gorgeous cable car there. As well for folks to be able to access it. It's a really nice property just to enjoy it. But the town of Girdwood is also kind of a fun little town too. So it's a really, really nice destination. So I'm going to jump forward now and go to Denali. And of course, this is at the core of why many folks want to go to Alaska, which is to experience Denali National Park. And so Denali is really all about the park. There's no town per se. There's about I'm gonna use the local, slightly demeaning name, if I may. But there's a stretch of, less than a mile, right? A stretch of kind of shops that is called Glitter Gulch. It's kind of the names the locals give to it. Some restaurants, some places to kind of buy souvenirs, that sort of thing. That's really about it for Denali. That's outside of Denali National Park. It's all about the park when you go to Denali. Fabulous visitor center, really fabulous visitor center. National Park rangers who are there, talking about things, answering questions. And when you go into Denali National Park, you have the opportunity to do it one of three ways, really. There's a tour that's called the Denali Natural History Tour that takes you about 30 miles into the park. There's a tour called the Tundra Wilderness Tour that takes you about 60 miles into the park. And there's a tour called Kantishna that takes you the full 92 miles into the park. There's only one road that goes into Denali National Park. And the only people that are allowed to take you into that are the park rangers. The cruise lines, we are not allowed to take anybody in. It's only the National Park rangers as part of their buses that are allowed to take folks into the park. So what your listeners will see is that all of our cruise tours include a tour into Denali National Park. That may be the Denali Natural History Tour, 30 miles. That may be the Tundra Wilderness Tour, 60 miles. And that may be the Contingent Tour, 92 miles. And really, the going theory is this. The longer that you go into the park, the more opportunity that you will have in order to have great wildlife experiences. But you have to bear in mind that if you don't like kind of bus rides, it is, you know, the Tundra Wilderness Tour is like 7 to 8 hours.
Ooh.
So you have to want that.
Wow.
You know, you have to want that 7 to 8 hours into the park. I think kind of all too often I hear people say, you have to do Tundra Wilderness Tour, you have to do Tundra Wilderness Tour. And I really think that's down to the person, to their preference. Personally, for me, I prefer to do the shorter tour, the Denali Natural History Tour, get back to the Denali Visitor Center, and then there's these beautiful trails that surround the Visitor Center, a mile, a couple miles, 3 miles, 4 miles. You can kind of walk around and, you know, just have that fabulous scenery. That's personally what I prefer to do because I love hiking. But, you know, there's the opportunity to go further for potentially better wildlife experiences, for potentially better views of the mountain. But that's really a kind of an option for your listeners when they go to Denali.
That was one of the things our tour guide said.
Go ahead, Cindy.
Our tour guide, she said to ask your clients, what is your Alaska? What is it you want to see? Because everyone kind of, it was like you were saying, there's glaciers, there's wildlife, there's the mountain. I mean, what is it that you want
to
see?
Yeah. And to answer your question, Brendan, I thought the natural history tour was great. And although the bus was comfortable enough, certainly more comfortable than I thought it was going to be because we heard it was a school bus. But the seats have been, you know, remodeled or whatever. So again, it's one of those things where expectations need to be set. It's actually a very comfortable bus. We had a great, was she officially a park ranger, Brendan, or is she a driver guy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, absolutely.
So, yeah.
The park ranger's there. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic. And the drive was great. She told us all about the drive. And we did see some animals. We didn't see everything, but we saw several. I now know what ptarmigans look like, the little birds. I can pick one out, the state bird of Alaska. But it was a great drive. And I think, honestly, Brendan, that was long enough for me. I'm sure there would have been more.
Yeah, Fires Lake.
I don't remember that. Yeah,
we did a natural history walk. It was about a 2 mile walk by Fires Lake.
Were you up in Denali?
Yeah, it was one side of us. Like they said, if you just walk this way, there's nothing until there's like nothing forever.
Oh no! No, we didn't do that.
Bears might cross a bear.
So I want to go ahead and Denali was wonderful, but I do want to go ahead because we are running out of time, and if our file gets too large, Heidi can't upload it. So can we talk a little bit about Fairbanks, Brendan? Can we move on to that?
We can. So, I'll kind of encapsulate it in under 5 minutes, and that kind of brings us into the hour. But yeah, Fairbanks is wonderful. As I always say about Fairbanks, it's not like the rest of Alaska, which is kind of wilderness and wildlife and mountains and glaciers. It's very much a cultural and historical destination. It's you don't really see any mountains from there. There's not really any opportunity for wildlife in there. It's really about the founding of Fairbanks as a gold mining community and the amazing things that happened from there with the gold dredge operations and the native Alaskan communities. I believe it's the Athabascans that are up around that area. But some two really fabulous included experiences there, which is the Gold Dredge 8, which is an amazing gold mining operational, used to be gold mining operation up there, and it's kind of reenactments of what it was like to live in Fairbanks. And then the Riverboat Discovery, which is my favorite thing in the interior of Alaska. Both of them are by a family called the Binkley family, who've been around for like 100 years. But on the Riverboat Discovery, you sail up the Chena River. Great introduction into kind of the importance of airplanes and floatplanes in Alaska, and then you kind of finish up at the Native Alaskan village and just some great kind of explorations into kind of life there as part of the Native Alaskans. Really, really well done. I love Fairbanks, but I think kind of people have to love those kind of cultural historical experiences. Because if you don't love that kind of stuff, then it's not going to be for you. For me, I do. I love that stuff, and therefore I love Fairbanks, and I do love the Fairbanks people. They're a hardy people who, you know, go from, you know, minus 50 in the wintertime to, 90 degrees in the summertime, and they're an interesting people to kind of get to know a little bit. So I'll just kind of finish it up with this, if it's okay with you guys. I want to say a little bit about what makes Royal Caribbean so special in that kind of cruise tour space, where your clients should consider a Royal Caribbean cruise tour above all others, in certainly my estimation, for their cruise tour experiences. There's a lot that's the same in the interior of Alaska. I mean, honestly, I think kind of we've spoken a little bit about it here today, right? The tour into Denali National Park on those buses, that's with the park rangers. That's nothing to do with us or any of the other cruise lines. We set the whole thing up, right? But it's them that take them in there. There's only one road that goes north. You know, everybody's taking the same road north. Everybody's taking the same road south. So there's a lot that's the same. But there's a few things that are really uniquely different. And what drives the difference in a Royal Caribbean cruise tour experience from the industry standard is what we call the lodges, the service, and the transportation. That's really what's unique about a Royal Caribbean cruise tour. And we talked a little bit about the lodges, that we always use the finest lodges available, locally owned and operated where we can. We're really, truly selecting the lodge based on the best that is there. And certainly, you know, in terms of their access to have those, again, crazy beautiful views, access to those local experiences, and then local owned and operated where we can also. But the lodge selection is really fabulous as part of our Royal Caribbean Alaska cruise tours. Really a crucial part of this is also it's fully escorted. And it's not just fully escorted by someone. It's fully escorted by a tour guide who comes from Alaska or lives in Alaska but has that deep connection with Alaska. Every single cruise tour has a dedicated local tour guide and a dedicated motor coach driver as part of a small group tour. Each motor coach, we would put that at around 44 persons. So there's always this dual local tour guide and motor coach driver who is bringing that experience to our guests, who are exploring Alaska through their eyes, through the eyes of a local. And I'm just going to quickly kind of break down what the industry standard is. The industry standard is what's called a reps experience. That basically means it's based on representatives. Clients would fly into the interior of Alaska, they'd be met by a rep, right? And that rep would check their paperwork and help them check in. And then they come down in the morning and there'd be a new rep, right? Because that was the night rep and this is the day rep. And the day rep would check their paperwork. And, you know, they send them outside and there'll be 13 different motor coaches going in 9 different directions. And they get on a motor coach. And now a driver will be serving double duty as both the driver and the narrator, taking them to the destination that they're going to. And when they get off there, there'll be a representative. And the whole process would start again with new representatives and drivers and locations and the whole thing. That's what it is. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's just what the industry standard is. When your listeners would fly into the interior of Alaska as part of a Royal Caribbean Alaska cruise tour, they'd be met by one person, their dedicated local tour guide. And that dedicated local tour guide would introduce them to their dedicated motor coach driver. And that dedicated motor coach driver would show them their dedicated motor coach for the duration of the land tour. And that would be it. And the motor coach driver would, of course, be driving, but also transporting the luggage from the motor coach to the hotel room, from the hotel room back down to the motor coach. They never have to touch it. And I think kind of, you know, I always use this analogy when talking about experiences because I think everyone has had those experiences where they've gone to a city and just kind of figured it out with resources and recommendations and talking to people on the street, and that's fine. But I think everyone's been to a city where maybe it's someone who came from that city, someone who cares about that city, someone who loves that city, introduced that city to them. That's the experience we want your listeners to have when they come with us on a Royal Caribbean Alaska cruise tour. And then finally, the transportation. We utilize the newest deluxe motor coaches on the roads of the interior of Alaska. And I know, Elizabeth, you were kind of very vocal about how comfortable that experience was traveling through the interior of Alaska. It's a long distance to drive, so to be on the newest deluxe motor coaches that are around, that really makes the experience much more comfortable. And then every single Royal Caribbean Alaska cruise tour is going to travel on what's called the Wilderness Express rail carriages, which are fabulous dual-level rail carriages pulled by the Alaska Railroad with fabulous domed roofs in order to have that amazing scenery as you're traveling through the Alaska. 80 persons up top, luxury leather seating, power ports for your bits and pieces. Down below is a restaurant with white linen silver service, freshly prepared meals by a chef on board the rail car that day with local ingredients. Every single cruise tour we offer has at least one rail experience, but some have multiple. A lot of choice out there. I know your listeners are going to do their due diligence, do their research, but keep it in mind and bear it in mind that when you're looking at the industry standard cruise tours, what's different about a Royal Caribbean cruise tours is the lodges, the service, and the transportation. We really are second to none.
You are amazing, Brendan, and we're so glad to have you. That is our show for this week.
Right.
We once again would love to thank Brendan for taking the time out of his busy schedule to chat with us tonight and share his insights and obvious love for Alaska. Thank you, Brendan.
Thank you.
We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com. Then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/outlanderpodcast. Or just search for us for Fly Away. And be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Donna, Lindsay, Sandy, and Elizabeth, and myself, Laura, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel. And we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!